This changes everything. This changes everything. Hallelujah. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The resurrection changes everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are, as all men, most miserable and to be pitied. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet presence, Lord, that's here. We ask you, God, to have your way, to touch our hearts, to touch our lives, to speak to us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If Christ be not risen, but then after that, Paul says, but he is risen. But he is risen. Everything hinges on the resurrection. I love the cross. I love singing about the cross. I love worshiping the cross. I love thinking about the power of the blood of Jesus. Everything about it is awesome. I will glory in the cross. But the cross means nothing if today doesn't happen. If there's not a resurrection, if Jesus doesn't come out of that grave, the cross means nothing. Everything hinges on this moment. Why we're here today to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It changes everything. There's been a lot of things in history that changed a lot, that changed everything. You know, when man first found out how to harness fire, that was kind of a cool moment when he could build fires and stay warm, or he could build fires and cook food. And I'm sure that whenever the person built that first fire, somebody standing nearby probably said, this changes everything. This is kind of cool. This changes everything. Or when they've discovered the earth was round and not flat. For a long time, thought the earth was flat and you just walk off the edge. Or if you sailed far enough across the ocean, you would literally sail off the edge. But then they discovered the earth was round and somebody probably said, this changes everything. Or they found that the earth revolves around the sun. For a long time, you know, we thought the earth was the center of the universe and everything revolved around the earth. But then they discovered that wasn't true, that in our solar system, everything revolved around our star, our sun. And that changed everything. It opened up so many more possibilities. The printing press. You could actually put printed material in people's hands. You could pass information. Before, it always had been stories that were told and legends, but the printing press changed everything. Electricity. Think how much that influenced our lives. I mean, when they invented electricity, and they had to have said, this changes everything, because it opened up so many possibilities. The automobile changed everything. The airplane, this changes everything. The atomic bomb. How we battle and how we fight, the technologies we have today, changes everything. Computers and the internet changes everything. But all of those things pale in comparison to this truth that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. And if that is true, and that's what we're going to talk about today, then that changes everything. So Paul's big what if. The big what if he did not rise? How many of you ever done a what if? What if I'd have gone further with my education? What if I'd have worked somewhere else? What if I'd have lived in another town? Paul's coming up with the biggest what if of all. What if Jesus did not rise? We're going to talk about that. Because it's important. Because if Jesus didn't rise, we might even go home early today. Right? If we can decide in the next 5 or 10 minutes this didn't happen, you're dismissed. Because the Bible says your faith is futile. Our preaching is vain. We're wasting our time. Why are we even here? If Christ didn't rise, if this didn't happen, why go through everything we're going through? So we're going to look at the evidence, because if he did, this changes everything. Church, it changes your family. It changes your life. It changes your home. It changes everything. If Jesus rose again, I think sometimes we take this so for granted. It's Easter, Jesus rose, and we go and we do this every year, and it just becomes, but I want you to stop and think, what if it didn't happen? What if it didn't happen? And let's not take this event so for granted. This is a big deal. It's a big deal, Jesus rising from the grave. First of all, he says, if it didn't happen, our preaching is empty. My sermons mean nothing. And if our sermons mean nothing and our preaching is empty, that means the cross means nothing. It has no power. None. There is no power in the blood, as the song says. None. The blood doesn't wash away anything. It's just, if Jesus is not risen, the blood he shed on that cross was just the blood of another man, a martyr, a heretic, a dreamer, a liar, a fraud. It means nothing. The cross holds no power if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. There's no justification. There's no sanctification. There's no glorification. There's no grace. There's no forgiveness. There's none of that. It doesn't exist if Jesus didn't rise from the grave. Not only that, he said, not only is our preaching empty, but your faith is empty. Everything you've ever believed is wrong if Christ be not risen. What the world says about Jesus is true if Christ be not risen. It's a joke. You believing in God, believing in the fairy tales of the Bible, because that's what the world thinks. If Jesus be not risen, they're right, and you're wrong. And the world continues to laugh. If Christ be not risen, everything you've ever thought about God's word, every lesson you've ever learned, everything you ever thought about Jesus is a lie. Jesus was a fake. A heretic. Nothing. Everything we've been taught from the time we were little and we were taught about Jesus would be wrong. Everything that the atheist and the agnostic say about us becomes true. If Christ be not risen, we've bought into a lie. And we come in here and we worship and we go through the motions for nothing. Because the world tells us it comforts us to believe in God. It comforts us to believe there's life after death. That's what they tell us. We're weak-minded and we somehow need that supernatural something to lean on. So we grasp for something beyond ourselves or bigger than ourselves. And that's what they tell us. And so we have to believe in something. But it's all a lie. None of it's real. That's what Paul says in his big what if. If Christ be not risen, your faith is empty. If Christ be not risen, he also says we're false witnesses. We're spreading fairy tales. He says we're liars if Christ be not risen. We're teaching our children false stories and lies and filling their heads with all kinds of stuff that's not even real. If Christ be not risen, we are false witnesses. Every sermon, every Sunday school class, every VBS, every mission work, everything we do in the Philippines, everything we've done in Peru, everything we do around the world is a lie. If Christ be not risen, it's all wasted effort. It's nothing. And then he postulates this thought, that if Christ wasn't who he says he is and there's still a God of justice and holiness, it gets even worse. Because if Christ be not risen, you're still in your sins. There's still a holy God hovering over the planet calling for justice, and we have none. Because the blood does nothing for us and we're still in our sins. There's no forgiveness, there's no grace, there's no pardon, there's no eternal life. And then he says this last one, and if Christ be not risen, your loved ones have perished. Grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles and those we stand around the grave and hope for eternal life and hope for a reunion and talk about one day we'll all be together and that one day there'll be a resurrection. If Christ be not risen, that's a joke. If Christ be not risen, there will be no reunion. There won't be any heaven. There won't be any eternal life. If Christ be not risen, it's all burned up. It's gone. It's smoke. It's vapor. If Christ be not risen, and we are to be pitied as men most miserable because we have no hope. This is all there is. And if there's anything, there's hell. There's judgment. But what if Christ is risen? That's what happens if Christ is not risen, but what if Christ is risen? And in the very next line of the passage, Paul says, but Christ is risen. Because if Christ is risen, this changes everything. Everything changes if Christ is risen. So let's look at the evidence. Let's look at what the Word of God says. Let's find out. Is Christ risen? Well, first thing you got to talk about is that empty tomb. It stares you in the face. It's a historical fact, and it's a problem. What do you do about the empty tomb? Now, an empty tomb alone, in and of itself, does not prove a resurrection. But it is the first thing we confront, and it is the first thing we face, and it's the first thing in the Bible that they tried to explain away. You know how they try to explain it away? The disciples stole the body. The disciples stole the body and made up a lie and made up a story that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave, and all of them knowing it was a lie. And then they all turned around and died for that lie. That's a problem. Men don't die for lies. Men don't give their lives for something they don't believe in. Men don't give their lives for something they know is not true. All these men's lives changed, and they gave their lives and laid their lives down for something. And they didn't do it for a lie. They didn't do it for a hoax. They didn't do it for something they had made up. The other thing, besides Jesus stealing the body, and I will tell you this, they would have produced a body if they could have. If the leaders could have produced a body to prove Jesus was dead, yeah, we've got an empty tomb, they would have found that body and produced it, but they couldn't produce it. But the other problem is they postulate the swoon theory. You know what the swoon theory is? The swoon theory is Jesus didn't actually die. The swoon theory is that when they took him off the cross, he kind of fainted, he kind of passed out, and they laid him in the tomb and he woke up and he somehow got out of the tomb, or they helped him get out of the tomb. There's problems with the swoon theory. Do you know how Jesus was beaten on the face and how they took rods and beat him on the legs? And how they plucked the beard from his cheeks? Do you know that by the time Jesus got to Pilate, he was already beaten and bruised and battered? And then Pilate, trying to avoid a crucifixion because it was so ugly, gave an order that Jesus would be whipped and beaten. Men were not beaten and then crucified. He gave the order for Jesus to be beaten so that he could avoid the cross. And Jesus was beaten with a Roman cat of 9 tails, normally 39 lashes, 9 strips of leather with bone and metal tied into it. It would open your back to the spinal cord. His back was like hamburger meat when they got through beating him, and he was within inches of death. A lot of men died during a Roman scourging. And the crown of thorns placed upon his head, and then the order given to crucify him. And not only was he beaten, he was crucified. And the nails were driven, 7 and 8 inch spikes, driven through his wrist and through his feet. And from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for 6 hours, Jesus hung on that cross and pushed up and down, trying to get air and trying to breathe. Because that's how you died in a crucifixion. You suffocated. Asphyxiation. Is how you die. That's why they broke their legs, because they could no longer push up and breathe. And then seeing that Jesus' well, the Bible says they came to break his legs, and seeing that he was already dead, these are Roman soldiers. They crucify people all the time. They understand death. They're in the death business. It's what they do. Seeing that Jesus was already dead, they thrust a spear into his side, and water and blood gushed out, which meant that his heart was exhausted and his lungs poured out the remainder that was in them. He died. The evidence is overwhelming. Jesus died on that cross. But if somehow he didn't, after all of that, do you really think Jesus could have crawled out of a tomb and convinced anybody he was the Savior of the world? It would have been weeks before he would have even been able to walk. But in 3 days, he was on his feet telling the world. Folks, this changes everything. This changes everything. You can try to do everything you can to change it, but you can't change it. So if he truly died, the next question is, did anybody see him? Did anybody see him? We know he died. Did anybody see him? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, Paul the apostle, as one born out of time. We know he was seen by the women at the tomb. We know he was seen by Cephas or Simon Peter. And we know he was seen by the 12. All 12 of the disciples saw him, touched him, ate with him, spent time with him. But Paul says he was also seen by over 500 people at a gathering Matthew talks about on a hillside. Over 500 people saw Jesus alive. And listen to what Paul says. When Paul wrote this account, he says many of these people are still alive. You know what that means? This is a contemporary event. It means you could go talk to these people. Paul wasn't afraid to name names. He wasn't afraid to tell you there are people still alive who saw Jesus. Go ask them. Go talk to them. It's one thing for me to tell a story after everybody's dead because nobody can verify it, right? If I tell a war story and I tell it in such a way that I was the hero of the war story and everybody died, there's nobody that can say any different. But if I tell you there's 10 or 12 soldiers that were there that are still alive, you can go talk to them. Well, that changes it. That changes everything. And that's what Paul is saying. There's still people alive you can go talk to about this, of the 500 people that saw him alive. Folks, that is amazing testimony. And then we have not only all those who saw him, but we have the skeptics that became believers. Do you know John chapter 7 verse 5 tells us that none of his brothers believed? Jesus had four half-brothers, James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. Those were his four. He had two half-sisters and four half-brothers. Joseph and Mary went on to have six more kids. They had a big family. But the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 5, his four brothers didn't believe. They didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't believe his miracles. They didn't believe what he had to say. But then something happened. James became head of the church in Jerusalem, his brother. Not only did James become head of the church in Jerusalem, James gave his life and was martyred for his brother, Jesus. How do you go from not believing in your brother to believing and becoming a martyr? I'll tell you how. James saw something. What did he see? He saw his brother resurrected. He saw a resurrected Savior. Saul of Tarsus, one of the great, he believed all this was a cult. He believed it was all a fairy tale. And on his way to Damascus, he said, "I saw Jesus as one born out of time. He appeared to me. I saw him." All of these witnesses, all of the disciples who were hiding. How do you take a group of men who were hiding in the shadows and in the closets and in the dark because they feared for their lives? They were cowards. They ran. Jesus at the cross, had to give his mother Mary to the disciple John to take care of because none of his family was there. They didn't believe. Everybody had run. Everybody had forsaken him. And yet, just a few days later, these same people who were hiding and shaking in fear were standing and preaching on the day of Pentecost with boldness. How does that happen? In a matter of hours, they go from being cowards to being men of courage and men of bravery. I'll tell you how. They saw something. And what they saw changed everything. They saw a risen Christ. They saw a Savior that had walked out of the grave in might and power. And they were willing to die for what they saw and what they experienced. If you called all of the witnesses into court that we just listed for a 15-minute interview around the clock without stopping, it would take from breakfast Monday to dinner Friday to hear them all. That's 129 hours of testimony from over 500 people saying, "I saw him." That's extraordinary. There's not a court in the land that you could bring all those witnesses in and verify that, and they would not find that something happened. Church, something happened. Do you understand that? Listen to this. 5 weeks after Jesus was crucified. He's a joke. He's a liar. He's a fraud. He's a fake. He's a heretic. He's a dreamer. Is that what he was? 5 weeks after he was crucified, he had over 10,000 followers. I want you to think about that. 5 weeks after this man was crucified, over 10,000 people had been born into the kingdom of God. Oh man, don't tell me there wasn't a resurrection. Something extraordinary happened in Jerusalem. And it changed everything. It changed the world. There is so much evidence. But I'll tell you what the greatest evidence of all is. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Hallelujah. I know he's alive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, if Christ be not risen, your preaching is empty. But if Christ is risen, this changes everything. It means our preaching is not empty. It means there's power in these anointed words. It means there's still power in the blood. It means the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. It means the Bible is still the word of God, and his word is life. It means there's still power to set the sinner free and wash away every stain of sin. If Christ be not risen, your faith is empty. But if Christ is risen, this changes everything. It means your faith is not empty. It means this Jesus you believe in is who he said he was. He is the bright and morning star. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the captain of the Lord's host. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is our high priest. He is the light of the world. He is the Lamb of God. He is the great I am. He is the Son of righteousness with healing in his wings. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the good shepherd. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He that was dead and is now alive forevermore. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If Christ be not risen, you're false witnesses. But if Christ is risen, this changes everything. It means you're not false witnesses. It means we are children of the Most High God. It means we are strangers and pilgrims looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. It means the ground we walk on we can claim for the kingdom. It means every song, every prayer, every sermon is good seed that brings forth an abundant harvest. It means I'm a new creature in Christ. It means I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I've received the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on the sick and see them recover and cast out demons and speak with new tongues. It means I'm holy and without blame. It means I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. It means I'm more than a conqueror. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, and I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. If Christ is truly risen, it changes everything. If Christ be not risen, you're still in your sins. But if Christ is risen, it means I'm not in my sins, but all my sins are gone. It means all my sins have been washed away. It means all my sins have been cast away forever. It means I have been forgiven, I have been justified, I have been glorified, and I've been sanctified. It means I've been redeemed. It means that I will sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It means I'm the head and not the tail. And if Christ be not risen, all your loved ones have perished. If Christ be not risen, all your loved ones have gone. But church, Christ has risen. And what that means is Jesus has conquered the grave. It means He is the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in him shall live and not die. It means death, the final enemy, has been defeated. It means to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It means your loved ones are a part of the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, and it means that one day there will be a great reunion. It means that Jesus is coming back just like he said he would. It means that he's coming back on a white horse, and his eyes as a flaming fire, and on his head a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It means he's coming back in glory and power and might, because he is the King Almighty. Give the Lord the praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. So, if he's not risen, we're wasting our time. But I got news for you. He came out of that grave. He is risen. And because he's risen, church, it changes everything. And you know what? It changes most me. Because we've got to start thinking about the lives we're living. If this is all true, and it is, you have to face it. You have to look at it. You can try to spend your life avoiding it. You can look the other way. I don't want to hear. But if you stop and look at the evidence, you're forced to make a decision. What do you do with this Jesus? His message has spread around the world. They've tried to stop it. They've tried to kill it. They've tried to stamp it out. But you can't. Why? Because there's power in it. There's power in it. Let's stand together.